But we're going to get back into the gospel according to John. So open your Bibles or access your device to John chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, as we talk about today, our vine line to God. So what if I told you that I have discovered what I believe to be the most important key to living the victorious Christian life? The truth contained here in John 15 changed my life in ministry over 35 years ago. I was at a place of burnout. I was at a place ready to give up and quit until I discovered the glorious truth of abiding in Jesus, of staying connected to the vine who is Jesus. So this is tremendous truth for you today. Let's remember the setting. They've just left the upper room. They finished the Last Supper. Jesus and his disciples are walking down about a half a mile to the Garden of Gethsemane. And there, weaving down the side of the mountain, the Mount Zion, there are many vineyards. And we know that it was a full moon because it was Passover. And I can just imagine Jesus stopping there at one of those vineyards and looking up and perhaps even grabbing hold of one of those vines. And he began to teach his disciples, and he's teaching us. And you know, once again, I'm just amazed at how Jesus could take simple things like birds, flowers, seed, bread, grapevines, and he could teach profound truth. So let's read his words here in John 15, 1. And since we're getting ready to get back together again, let's practice a little bit. So wherever you are, let's stand with me right now as we read God's holy word together. Just stand right where you are as we honor God through the reading of his word. This is the seventh of the I am statements in John, the seventh and the last. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes, and he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. And now remain, abide, stick in me and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. He says it again, I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you remain, there's that word remain again, uses it 11 times. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want, and it will be done. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. Let's pray. Father, I pray that wherever people are listening to your word today, I pray that you will go at the speed of thought. The power of the Holy Spirit will arrive right where they are. And Lord, they just won't hear my words, but they'll hear your words of truth that transform. Because Lord, only people can be transformed by your truth. We know this and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks. You can be seated wherever you are. You know, I don't know how many of you have ever been around vineyards or grapevines or things like that. Everybody knows about grapes. But I had originally intended maybe just to show you some pictures on the screen of a grapevine, but I decided to do something different. This week, I went out to Keepersall Vineyards, and I did a little video out there to help you understand what Jesus was talking about. So take a moment and watch this first short video. Here I am among the 165 acres of Keepersall Vineyard, and I want to show you what a vine, a branch, and fruit is all about. This big, thick part down here is the vine. Jesus said, I'm the vine. It's the permanent one that stays all year through. But then these are the branches. These are us. We're just attached to the vine. And although it's early in the season, here is the fruit. And the main job of the vine dresser or the gardener is to go out and prune the vines. So what Jesus gives here is a very simple analogy of vines, branches, fruit, gardener. But it's very important up front for you to understand who plays the role of each part of this allegory. Number one, the vine is Jesus. And he said, I'm the true vine. He said that because in Psalm 80, God talked about how he dug up a vineyard in Egypt and transplanted it in Israel. But by now, Israel had become the false vine, but Jesus was the true vine. The gardener in the story is the Father, and he only has two actions. He cuts off branches that don't produce fruit and burns them, but the branches that do produce fruit, he cuts them back so they can produce more fruit. Number three, now this is us, pay attention. The branches represent people. That's me and that's you. We're going to learn over and over again that we do not produce fruit. We just display the fruit that the vine Jesus produces. And then most importantly, you've got to understand, number four, fruit represents the nature of Jesus displayed in our life. Because you know what fruit is? Fruit is simply the outward expression of the inner nature of a plant. Now, I'm not that smart, and I can't tell a lot of trees just by their leaves or by their branches. But, you know, when I see an apple hanging on an apple tree, my brilliant mind says, you know what? That is an apple tree. When I see an orange hanging on an orange tree, I can say, hey, that is an orange tree, because the orange is the outward expression of the inner nature of that tree. When I see a spaghetti tree, I say, that's a spaghetti tree. I know spaghetti doesn't grow on trees. I think it grows on bushes or something. But you know what I'm talking about. This is what the Bible is talking about. When you see the inner nature of Jesus, his character, his personality, when you see it displayed in another person, then you know that they are exhibiting or displaying good fruit. And the whole purpose that Jesus wants to relate to us is so that we can produce much fruit. Now, with that introduction, let me give you four powerful personal applications about fruit. Number one, fruit is the proof of my relationship with Jesus. Now, you know, whenever I fly or used to fly and came back into the country, they'd say, what proof of your citizenship do you have? I would show them my passport. This is proof I am an American citizen. So what is the real proof that you are a follower of Jesus Christ? Well, according to what Jesus said here, it is the fruit of the Spirit. The proof is not in the pudding. The proof is in the fruit. You know, sometimes when you buy produce at a grocery store, there'll be a little sticker on that piece of fruit. And that lets you know that from the time it was harvested until the time it arrived in the produce section of the grocery store, there was someone who inspected it and said, this is good fruit. Well, did you know Jesus has called on each one of us to be fruit inspectors? Because he said in Matthew 7:16, by their fruit you shall know them. And this is what Jesus said in John 15:8, my Father is glorified in this, that you produce much fruit. And here it is, and prove to be my disciples. Now, what is fruit? Well, already in this section of John 14, 15, and 16, Jesus is going to highlight three of these types of fruit. He's already talked about love. This is my new commandment. Last week, we talked about peace. Next week, we're going to talk about joy. So you already have love, joy, and peace. Is that beginning to sound familiar? Because the fruit that Jesus is talking about here in John 15, I believe, is the same fruit that the Apostle Paul wrote about over in Galatians 5. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. And the first three are love, joy, and peace. So some of you can remember that in 2012, I taught a series on the fruit of the Spirit, and we even learned a little funny song to memorize the fruit of the Spirit. So if you remember, just singing along with me right now, just right where you are. For the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithful, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. I still have to sing that sometimes to remember. But when you see those characteristics, those personality character traits in a person, you know it proves that they are attached to the vine, that they are a follower of Jesus Christ. So just look at people. When you see people who seldom or never show any love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, then you probably have the right to at least suspect that they don't know Jesus. But when you see a person and there is love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness in their lives, you can know for sure that that person is a follower of Jesus. The proof is in the fruit. Here's the second application. Number two, I can't produce fruit. I display the fruit that Jesus produces. Now, he makes it very clear in here that he's the vine and we're the branches. It is the vine that produces the fruit and not the branches. And if you get that confused and mixed up, you'll be frustrated. You see, there are a lot of people, they take the nine fruit of the Spirit, especially if they have a type A personality, and they may make a checklist and they say, okay, every day I'm going to be perfectly loving. I'm going to be perfectly peaceful. I'm going to be emphatically joyful. And they go down that list of all nine and they work hard to say, I'm going to do this if it kills me. And sometimes it almost does kill them. Because you see, these were not ever things that we were meant to imitate. These were personality characteristics that Jesus wants to produce in us. Look again at John 15:4. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains, there's our word on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I read a story years ago about a small remote village in Nepal, and they gave some money to their village leader to go down to a city to buy some supplies. And when the leader went down to this city, he was amazed because he had never seen electricity before, and he was fascinated that he walked into a room and somebody flipped a switch, and then this glass bulb on the top of a ceiling illuminated. And he thought that was the most amazing thing ever. And he said, I've got to get that for my village. And so he went to a hardware store and he bought a light bulb and he bought a plastic light switch and he went back to his village. And when he went back to the village, they said, well, where are the supplies you were supposed to buy? He said, I've got something better. You won't believe it. Tonight, when it gets dark, come to my hut. And so he had tied the light bulb up there in the top of his cabin, his hut, and he'd attached that light switch over to the side of the door. And when everybody was gathered around there and it was dark, he said, now watch this. And he flipped the switch. And of course, you know, nothing happened, right? Because what he didn't understand is that there was no power in that bulb. There was no power in that switch unless they were connected to an electrical source that was many, many miles away. And you know, the same is true about producing fruit in the Christian life. We can't do it on our own. We have to be connected to the source of the fruit of the Spirit, and that's Jesus himself. Now, if you can get that fact in your mind, it'll make it a lot easier. You can begin to rest in the Lord instead of just being stressed out all the time, trying to act in those different ways. You know, one of my friends that I love to listen to through the years, he's in heaven now, is Ron Dunn. He talks about John 15 and he puts a little different spin on it. Let me share with you what he said. He said, a branch is just a grape rack that God has there to hang his fruit on. My responsibility isn't to produce fruit. My responsibility is just to be available to God to hang his fruit on me. All right, that's the second thing. Here's the third thing. Fruitful branches are pruned to produce more fruit. Now, the gardener only has two jobs in this story. If he sees a branch that's not producing fruit, he cuts it off. In fact, I brought a branch from Keepersall that had been cut off because it was a branch that didn't produce any fruit. And it's thrown in a pile and it is burned. But let's look at a branch that this season produced a lot of grapes. So what's he going to do to that? He's not going to chop it off, but he is going to chop it back. And that seems to be illogical or counterintuitive. But that's exactly what Jesus said. Look at John 15:2. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. And he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. If there's no pruning, there'll just be nothing but a bunch of leaves and a lot less fruit. So just imagine, we're not talking about branches now, we're talking about Christians. Let's imagine that you are someone who understands the fruit of the Spirit. Someone who does understand what it means to walk in the Spirit, not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And when people look at your life, they see love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness. And so you're living that kind of life. And so the Lord comes to you and you think he's going to give you a trophy? You think he's going to give you a blue ribbon? No, I'll tell you what he's going to do. He's going to prune you. And pruning hurts. You know, while I was out of the vineyard this week, I found a great example of a grapevine that had been pruned. Take a moment and look at this. Well, this is a vine that has been pruned. That means the branches have been cut back so it can produce more fruit. If these branches weren't pruned, it would only produce a bunch of leaves and no grapes whatsoever. So whenever there's pruning in your life, it's not God punishing you. It's God trying to make you more fruitful. I will say this. Pruning is not pleasant. Pruning is painful. And even though we've been fruitful, God may come to our life and he may say, you know what? I think I'm going to take that away. And we say, oh, no, Lord, don't take that away. And then he said, you know, I think probably you could do better without this. And he takes that away. And he takes that away. No, Lord, please, not that. You know, I'm trying to figure out what God has been doing here in these last 3 months. And I certainly don't have the answer for everything. But I do believe one thing that God is doing during this time is it is a time of pruning. It is a time when the Father, the gardener, is going through our lives and he's pruning away things that maybe we took for granted. And you know, maybe there were some things in our lives that we almost began to worship, that begin to be our idols. I mean, whoever thought in the history of our lives that almost with the flick of a switch, there would be no more sports for us to watch. There would be no more entertainment to watch in person, no more concerts, no more church attendance, no more casinos to visit, no more bars or pubs, just gone. And you know, I had begun to think even just the last couple of years, I think a lot of people who call themselves Christians really are more committed to their college football team or to their professional football team than they are to the Lord. Because when Sunday would roll around, their choice was something like this. Well, yeah, I will go to the church today unless the Cowboys are playing at noon. In fact, there's a professor in South Carolina. He teaches at Presbyterian College. He teaches a course called The Religion of SEC Football. And the class is always full. And here's what Dr. Michael Nelson says. I think for a lot of people in our society, sports has become a civic religion. It's the idols we worship. What would compel me on a Thursday to pack up my two boys and drive to Fayetteville, Arkansas, 15 hours away? It's a pilgrimage, and the stadiums are meccas. So, yeah, God may be taking some things out of our lives that we took for granted. But I just want to assure you that he's not doing this to punish you. What's the purpose of pruning? To make you more fruitful. So I think all of these things are going to come back to us eventually. We all know that. But I hope the value of the pruning that we've been going through over these months will cause us to look at everything with a different perspective. I think we used to think gathering for worship was a luxury. You could take it or leave it. I think there's a whole lot more people now that they're going to make a higher priority of gathering with the people of God in the house of God to study the Word of God. And I think maybe it'll put some of these other things in their proper perspective. So you know what? If you're a fruitful Christian, you can be sure that there's going to be some pruning in your life. Whenever I travel to Israel, we often travel up to an area of northern Israel just across from the Syrian border. And it's a place where there's some Druze, D-R-U-Z-E, villages, and they grow the most delicious apples I have ever eaten. And my friend Reuben Solomon, who's the guide and their friend, he said he's visited those apple orchards, and he said he was surprised to see that many of those apple trees were loaded down with apples so that their limbs had to be propped up. They were so full of apples. But he noticed that many of the branches of the trees and the trunks of the trees were cut up and gashed and beaten up. And so one of the Druze farmers said, we've discovered that sometimes when a tree doesn't produce much fruit, if we take a knife or an axe or a chain and just make some marks on the branches or the trunk, there's something in the tree that reacts to produce more and better fruit. And I'll never forget the way Reuben said it to me one time. He said it that the trees with the most scars produce the best fruit. The trees with the most scars produce the best fruit. There may be some of you who can relate to that. I can't look at you right now, but I know that there are many of you who've gone through times of testing, times of pruning, and those terrible times of pain in your life have caused you to be stronger, and you are more fruitful because of that. And so whenever you find yourself being pruned, don't try to reject God's pruning. Accept it. Know He loves you and He's trying to make you more fruitful. Well, one final application here. My primary job is to remain firmly connected to Jesus. Firmly connected to Jesus. Because you see, here we are, we're a branch. And there's one thing a branch cannot do if it's separated from the vine. This branch will never in a million lifetimes ever produce fruit. Okay, there you go. Start producing grapes there. Let's go. That's what you are, aren't you? Let's see those grapes start popping out. You sorry backslidden grape branch. Come on, make it happen. You know, that reminds me of a lot of people who think that it is up to them to produce love. Is there any love there yet? Joy. Peace. Peace. They have almost a spiritual hernia trying to imitate Jesus. No, my friend, there's only one thing a branch needs to do. It's very simple. All a branch needs to do is stay stuck, firmly attached to the vine, to rest in Jesus. Look at John 15, 5. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches, the one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do, what's the next word? Nothing without me. He uses that word remain 10 times. It means to adhere firmly, to stick to. The great New Testament scholar J.C. Ryle understands this. He says, when Jesus said, abide in me, he meant cling to me, stick fast to me, live your life in close and intimate communion with me, cast your whole weight on me, never let go your hold on me for a moment. You know, I think a lot of people are stressed out. And one reason they're stressed out is because they think God expects them to manufacture love, joy, peace, patience, the fruit. But no, God just expects you to stay close to Jesus. In fact, earlier this week when I was at the vineyard using some high-tech equipment, technology, I actually interviewed one of the branches. So check this out. Thanks to some real top secret technologies, which we can't divulge, and your imagination, I'm going to talk to this branch. Hey, Mr. Branch, you seem like you're under a lot of stress because you have to produce all these grapes. You don't feel stress? Why not? Oh, just because you're dependent on the vine, is that right? Well, I know, you know, it gets dry sometimes. Aren't you worried about getting water? No, you mean the vine has roots that go down and give you water? And what about all this fruit? I mean, it's got to be tremendous pressure for you to produce fruit. Don't you stay up nights worrying about that? No, you don't. So what is it? What's the main concern of your life? Oh, I see. All you have to do is one thing, to just rest in the vine. Stay connected to the vine. Wow, what a great lesson. Yep, that's a great lesson. I could be talking to a lot of people who are stressed out because they say, I just wish I was more loving. I had more peace, had more joy. You know, when I practice, I can juggle about 3 balls. I'm not in practice right now. But you know what the world record for juggling is? There's a guy that one time did 13 balls, but he only caught each one of them once. And the problem is there are a lot of Christians out there. They're trying to juggle 9 balls at one time. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Wouldn't it be better to just think about that one ball, abide in Christ, stay connected to Jesus, rest in Jesus, and let Jesus live in you, and let Jesus live through you. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 1, it talks about a man who meditates in God's word day and night. And it says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water where his fruit never dies. Staying close to Jesus. You say, Pastor, how do we rest in Jesus? How do we remain in Jesus? Well, you do that by getting into the word every day, by praying, just having those intimate times of quiet time with the Lord. You know, there's something profound about fruit. Have you ever thought about it? Fruit grows. I've never walked up to an apple tree and seen pop an apple pop out at full ripeness. No, it starts small and it grows. And so maybe in your life right now, you just are needing to have that fruit ripen a little bit. So how do you do that? Just by deepening your walk with the Lord, spending more time alone with the Lord. You see, I learned, as I said about 35 years ago, that it was not up to me to live the Christian life. I was about to have a spiritual burnout and dropout because I thought I had to live the Christian life perfectly. And I learned through John 15 and some other passages that, no, it's not up to me to live the Christian life. Jesus wants to come live inside of me, and he wants to live his life through me. He wants to produce his personality, his fruit, through me. And one of the writers who really helped me get a grasp on this was a man by the name of Major Ian Thomas. He fought in World War II for Britain. In fact, was given the German surrender flag. And he applied his sense of perfection to the Christian life. And for about 7 years, he tried to live the Christian life in a perfect way. And he was frustrated. He wrote a book about it called The Indwelling Life of Christ, in which he describes a conversation he had with the Lord. And here's what he says took place. The Lord said to me, for 7 years with utmost sincerity, you've been trying to live for me on my behalf, the life that I have been waiting for 7 years to live through you. Since that day, you have given mental consent to the truth that I have been in your heart and have accepted as a theory, but you have lived totally ignoring the fact. You have been busy trying to do for me all that only I can do through you. So from that day, I learned to say, Lord Jesus, I can't. You never said I could, but you can, and always said you would. That is all I need to know. From that moment, life became the adventure that God always intended it to be. Can you pray that today? Lord Jesus, I can't. You never said I could, but you can, and you always said you would. You know what Michael and I have been sharing with you over the last few weeks as we've been in this section of John is that the Christian life is not a bunch of rules. It's not a religion. It's about having Jesus in the person of the Holy Spirit come to take up residence in your life. And he becomes the vine and you become a branch. You see, that's it. Some people reverse that. They think of Jesus as an attachment to their life. Here's my life. I have my job life. I have my family life. I have a hobby life. Oh, yeah. And here's the Jesus part of my life. He's attached to me. No, that's just the opposite. You see, Jesus doesn't want to be an attachment to your life. He wants to be your life. And he wants all of those areas of your life to be flowed into through by his personality. And so what we've been saying is that you can truly invite Jesus, the Creator, who loves you so much that he died on a cross for you. You can actually invite him to come into your life and to change you. And instead of trying to act loving and act peaceful and act patient, he can empower you to do that once he lives in your life. And so right where you are, I'd like to just lead you in a simple prayer. You can just read it with me off the screen, but you mean it sincerely, and Jesus truly will answer this prayer and come into your life. Pray that right now. God, I'm a sinner. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I want to have your peace. I believe Jesus Christ is your Son, and I want to trust Him as my Savior. I'm willing to follow Him as my Lord from this day forward and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.